I want to begin tonight with a verse of Scripture that I'm sure just about everybody, if not everybody, is very familiar with. You don't need to turn in your Bibles. In fact, if you want to turn to someplace, go to our passage for study, 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. But the verse of Scripture that I want to begin with is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. You know it, I'm sure, very well. For by grace are you saved. Stop right there. Practically every brand of Christianity that exists has no problems with that part of the verse. From Roman Catholicism to mainline Protestantism to evangelicalism to fundamentalism, practically everyone says that salvation is provided by the grace of God. The problem comes with the next phrase. For by grace are you saved through faith. Everyone in that mixture of Catholicism through fundamentalism would say, yes, faith is an avenue. But fundamentalism and evangelicalism says, no, it's the avenue of saving grace. For Roman Catholicism, there are grace comes through the reception of or participation in the sacraments. Seven of them. Communion and baptism and last rites and various different things. Some of the other mainline Protestant would say that there's saving grace in communion and baptism, maybe not the other sacraments that Rome holds to, but nonetheless there's grace to be found in the participation of those things. Who's right? Of course we are. Right? Of course. Well, no, God is. God is right. I want to take you back, and you needn't turn here, to a passage in the Old Testament. It's on the day of Passover, when God gives Moses instruction concerning what they needed to do. They needed to take a lamb, and they needed to slay the lamb and take of its blood. That would be the work of Jesus Christ, which all quote-unquote Christian denominations have no problems with. But then that blood had to be applied to the doorposts of the house. And there was one specific way of applying the blood. You just couldn't have a pot of blood sitting outside. That would do you no good. It had to be applied to the doorposts. And to apply it to the doorposts, you had to take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood and use the hyssop like a paintbrush to apply it. What's interesting, well, by the way, one method of application, no other way. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's it. If there is any grace in any of the other quote-unquote sacraments, it's not saving grace. But nonetheless, hyssop had to be used. What's interesting about hyssop is that as a living plant, it's pretty interesting. It can grow out of a wall. In fact, it's very common to find hyssop growing out of a wall in the Middle East. I don't know too many things that can grow out of a wall, but hyssop can. But pluck it, and it very quickly dries and becomes very brittle. Hyssop as a type of saving faith, as long as it's living, it's able to do just about anything. But dry it up, remove it from its source, and it becomes very brittle. Saving faith removed from its source, which would be faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by remove faith from the Word of God, and it too becomes very brittle and is easily destroyed. When a person comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, truly believes on the death, burial, and resurrection, they are saved. They are eternally secure. Nothing can be done to change that. But Satan will do everything that he can to create doubts in your faith and ruin your productivity for the Lord. your ministry, your accomplishments, and what God can use you to do. And that's what we want to look at tonight. What I'm going to call the heart of Christianity. It deals with heart issues. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." Hereby we have an absolute certainty that our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ produces salvation. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's what the Word of God says. Nothing more, nothing less. Well, Satan's going to try and destroy that faith. And how does he do it? Well, in the next couple of verses, there are three ways that he tries to destroy your faith. Verse 20, "For if our heart condemns us," and it probably will, Satan will seek to bring condemnation to your heart, a condemning heart. How does he do that? Well, I think he does it sometimes personally. The scripture tells us that Satan or the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And we usually picture that as him standing before God, which I believe is accurate. But I think sometimes Satan does it personally before us and by means of temptations. Well, we think of temptation as a temptation to sin. Oh, to have a lustful thought or an idea to do something that's out of the will of God. I think a temptation can be, do you really believe what you believe? And Satan will come after us and try to discourage us. I believe that when he spoke to the Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and the temptations there in the wilderness, part of that was to discourage him. Since you are the Son of God, and it looks like the Father hasn't taken care of you, you better take things into your own hands and change these stones into bread. Isn't it discouraging to be left go by God the Father? I think that's kind of the idea of what he had. And sometimes Satan will seek to get inside our heads and create some doubts. Sometimes he does it by the means of the world around us. John, I don't know if in your evangelistic efforts, if you've ever tried this. Probably not. Have you ever gone up to somebody and said, "Nanner, nanner, nanner, I'm going to heaven and you're not"? I don't know. I looked through all my books on evangelism. I never saw that one as a recommended methodology. But think about it for just a second. If you are witnessing to somebody about the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of God that saves, what are you telling them? Because of this, I'm going to heaven. And because you haven't accepted this, you're not. The only difference is the nanner, nanner, nanner. That's what we're telling unsaved folks. Do they like to hear that? Of course they don't. Of course they don't. And they're going to say to you, "Well, who do you think you are?" I'll never forget when I was a student at ABC, I got a job at the Acme supermarkets. And I was sitting in the break room one night. I was on this side of the room, and there was a couple of the stock boys on the other side of the room. And they weren't noted for their godliness. And the one came in and started telling a very off-color joke. But just the way he told it, when he got to the punchline, I snickered just a little bit. Not at the joke, at the way he told it. And the three guys that were over there looked and said, "Look, even Reiner's laughing at that one." And my heart sank in me. Because they thought, I thought that the content was funny. The content was disgusting. But they're saying, well, here's this guy who's preparing for ministry, calls himself a Christian, and yet he's doing the same things that we do. And you begin to wonder, Lord, am I really any better than them? Well, no, I'm not any better than them, but am I better off than they are? And you start playing those mind games. And then sometimes, it's not external, but internal. our heart, our very own heart, condemns us. We go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you know I was here yesterday confessing this sin, and when I confessed it, I really was sorry about it. I genuinely thought I repented of it. I promised you that this would be the last time I ever committed that sin, and Lord, here I am again today. I wonder if I really am saved. And you start doubting. Look what happens. For if our heart condemns us, a condemning heart, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. How does He respond? Well, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, that assures our heart. He comforts our hearts with His truth. We come back to the Word of God and we find that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And our heart no longer condemns us. Verse 22, so we try something different. And whatsoever, or verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then we have confidence towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Stop there for a second. One of the greatest ways that faith can be strengthened is by answered prayer. You ask God for something that you believe to be in His will, and God provides it. Because if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and we know that if He hears us, we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. God will answer prayers according to His will. And when those things happen, you say, yes, there is a God up there. Roy asked in Sunday school this morning, he said to Judy Baker, who was sitting right here or here, he said, Judy, does God answer prayer? And without a moment's hesitation, she said, oh, yes, He does. Why? Because she's gone through some trials that she's prayed about. And God has answered her prayers. Greatest thing to strengthening faith is answered prayer. Well, how does the devil try to discourage there? Well, if he can get you not to pray, then there's no answered prayer. There's no answered prayer. There's no strengthening of faith. And as Wally was just mentioning a moment or two ago, you start to think things happen by coincidence and you forget about God. Or another way that prayer can be hindered and the strengthening of faith is that if sin exists in the life of a believer. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary on 1 John, spoke of a man who was at a Bible conference and he came up to the speaker of the conference and he said, would you pray? He said, I've been praying for my wayward son for years and God hasn't answered the prayer. And the speaker said, was reminded of this verse, and he said, is there anything in your life, any unconfessed sin that you're not dealing with? And he said, well, yeah, he said, I have a problem with somebody in church and I'm not willing to deal with it. He said, you go to that person and get right with them and see what God does. He went and got right with that person, and within days, his prodigal son came home. Unconfessed sin. So if Satan can get you sidetracked on following God, and there's sin that's not being dealt with in life, then God's not going to be answering prayer, and God's not going to be answering prayer, and your strength isn't going to be, and it becomes a cyclical thing. No, it becomes a sick thing. And it gets worser and worser. That's a careless heart. We don't care about the things of obedience. But then look what it says. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His suggestions, commandments. God comes along as an intercessor. and prays that we might recognize that what He says in His Word, which is truth, is not a suggestion, but a commandment concerning life. And when we realize that the Word of God is of such nature and we start doing it out of the heart of obedience, then God starts answering prayer. And when God starts answering prayer, then faith becomes strengthened and we go in the opposite direction. And that foils the plans of Satan. But then he tries one other thing. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, their saving faith, and love one another as he gave us commandment, which if we're loving people the way we should, are we sinning? Can we sin against somebody if we're loving them? The answer is no. You're living in accordance with the whole will of God. But then verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. This would be a callous heart. There's a condemning heart, a careless heart, now a callous heart. Do you realize that the very moment you came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the activity of the Spirit of God, you were baptized into the body of Christ. And at that very same instant, the Spirit of God came and indwelt your body. I heard one amen and a something over here. That's two people out of however many that are here tonight responded to that. Now, I'm not being critical. I don't mean to be critical. But you realize how wonderful that is. You are in Christ. And Christ is in you. And wherever you go, that situation does not change one iota. He is always with you. And you are always with Him. And you'll spend eternity with Him. Do you ever feel like He's a million miles away? Sometimes that happens. We feel so distant because a calloused heart doesn't have much sensation to it. It doesn't feel the right things. He that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he's given to us. And Paul says in Romans that that Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That Spirit is confirming in us that relationship is the genuine relationship. Consequently, because that is the genuine thing, okay, now I'm going to live by His standards and do what He commands, and because I'm doing what He commands, He's answering prayer, and because He's answering prayer, I have this assurance. Faith gets much better every day. For by grace are you saved through faith? Devil can't change that. You've trusted Christ, you've trusted Christ. But he tries all that he can to reduce your productivity by condemning your heart, making your heart a careless heart, making your heart a callous heart that you just don't really believe. Because that faith is so fragile when disconnected from truth. Stay in the Word, and the Word will abide in you, and your faith will blossom. Father, we thank you tonight for these assurances that we have here in 1 John chapter 3. And Lord, I pray that in the days ahead, we know that there will be attacks on our faith. May we be grounded and rooted in the Scriptures, the Word of truth, that our faith will remain vibrant and living and strong and able to thwart all the fiery darts of the wicked one. May we be shining examples of your love and your grace, of your goodness, of your salvation, of your forgiveness of sins, that we might be used of you to reach people with that very saving gospel, that they might come to faith in Christ also. To that end, we pray for your glory in his name. Amen.